Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 892. Today, Amateur Traveler talks about a university that's gone a little batty, Templars, schist villages, an aqueduct, fado music, as we go to central Portugal. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Portugal. I'd like to welcome to the show Stephanie Lambert from EuroTravelByDesign.com. And Stephanie's come to talk to us about central Portugal. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And we're talking about central Portugal, so the middle of Portugal. I think people could find that on a map. What's your connection with that region?
So I took my family to Portugal 2 years ago. Every Christmas, we have the tradition of giving our kids a trip for Christmas instead of things or gifts. And so we had been doing a lot of research on Portugal, and it had piqued my interest. I had an uncle that went a few years ago, and it was one of his favorite countries. And as we did more research, we just found more and more that interested us, we thought was unique and interesting. And so we knew we had to put it on the list right away.
Excellent. How big is the list now, I have to ask?
It grows all the time. We have dots all over the our Google Maps of pins of where we want to go. So it's always growing. There's so much in Europe to see and explore. Could take a lifetime.
Excellent. I'm sure some listeners of the show have the same problem as do readers of your blog, for sure.
Yes.
Why should someone go to central Portugal?
So Portugal is affordable. It's safe. It's beautiful. It's a culturally rich history. I feel like it's been underrated for some years. It's getting more popular now, but it's been overshadowed by Spain for a while. And I think it deserves just as much love. It has gorgeous architecture, fascinating history, breathtaking landscapes, warm and inviting people. I think the pastéis de nata are a reason to go enough on their own. They're so delicious. But
for me, that would have been the port, but okay. I'm with you. Excellent. Well, what itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Okay, so the home base is going to be in Coimbra. So I would say do probably 4 days in Coimbra, and then maybe a couple side, that would include a couple side trips, a side trip to the schist village of Piedão, and then a side trip down to Tomar. And then I would suggest doing a day in Monsanto, which is to the east, and then a day also in Óbidos.
Okay, excellent. You started us in Coimbra. I've been there. I understand why you might want us to go there, but what are we going to do in Coimbra?
So Coimbra is about 2 hours north of Lisbon. It's just over an hour south of Porto. It's Portugal's third largest city. It's a university town with the student body being around 21,000 students. Mm-hmm. So this brings a youth and vibrance to the city. If you're there during the school year, you'll see students in their black capes walking around, which is fun.
As if they were at Hogwarts is really what we're
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The university really is a must-see. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It was founded in 1290 and is the 10th oldest university built in Europe. So it was originally located in Lisbon, but it was moved to Coimbra in 1544 into a former royal palace. It's located at the top of the town. Coimbra's kind of divided into lower town and upper town. It's on a hill. The university is at the top of the hill. The Baroque Library is really the pinnacle of going to see the university. It has 40,000 books and it's ornately decorated. So it's really a must-see. You can get into a lot of the university for free without a ticket, but the Baroque Library is something you need a ticket for. And I would suggest getting that early as it will sell out. But you enter it into what used to be the university prison. And you go through the prison. Yeah. And you go through into the library. An interesting fact about the library is that in order to keep it insect free, they have two bat colonies that live there. And so at night, the bats come out and eat all the insects and keep the books insect free. So I thought that was interesting.
But I thought that was fascinating when we were there.
Yeah. But the library is really gorgeous. I think it's a must see for the university. Another thing that's on that tour with your ticket is the São Miguel Chapel. And it's really beautiful. It has brightly painted ceilings and the tiles that are really common all over Portugal. And it also has gold leaf around it. And so it's really a beautiful spot.
And you say the tiles that are popular all over Portugal. I can't picture the chapel, but when I picture those tiles, I picture like blue and white or black and white tiles. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, they're blue and white in that chapel.
Okay.
And, yeah. And then there are a few other things to see in the university. There's a big terrace that you can go out and look over the city. That's really pretty. And then there's a few other buildings. There's the Science Museum, which is housed in what used to be the old science lab. That's quite interesting. And also there's the Natural History Museum as well. And those are both free. So you can go in those without the ticket and the terrace as well and all the other buildings. So you really only need the ticket for the Baroque Library and the chapel.
Okay.
And then other things to do in Coimbra, I would make sure to walk around the botanical gardens. They are a wonderful way to spend some time out of the hustle and bustle of the city. They're really gorgeous. They were founded in 1772 and they have different terraces and fountains and all sorts of things that you can walk around in as well. So I would definitely suggest that.
Okay.
There are a couple other things to see in Coimbra. Just walking around is gorgeous. So I would explore the town. There's a covered market. It's called the Mercado Municipal. And it's a covered market where you can find all sorts of fish and sweet treats, vegetables, everything like that. So that's fun to explore. And there are a couple churches. There's what's called the Old Cathedral, and it's 12th century Romanesque church. And this is where at the end of each term, if you're there at the end of a school term, you can go and there'll be students singing and hanging around and celebrating on the steps of this old cathedral. And they're just celebrating the end of the school year and being free for a little bit. So that's fun to see. The other one is the new cathedral, and it was built in 1640. So I would check out those two churches as well. Yeah, the new cathedral is 1640, right? But so those churches are great. Another thing I would definitely say to do is if you're staying in Old Town, if you cross the Santa Clara Bridge, you can look back on Coimbra and you get a really great view of the town going up the hill. So I would definitely do that because if you're only in Old Town, you don't get that view. So just take a little stroll across that bridge and look back and get all the great pictures of the town.
And Santa Clara is the town on the other side of the river from Coimbra.
One other thing I would definitely say to do is go to a Fado concert. So Fado is the music in Portugal. Traditionally, it's sung by women, and it's this mournful, very passionate singing. But in Coimbra, it's done primarily by males and the male students. Mm. They're singing to their love interests, trying to woo them, or singing about their heartbreak. And so it's really interesting to go and see a male Fado concert. I know that there are some free ones in Coimbra. For instance, I know the Cafe Santa Cruz, it was originally a church and then it was converted into a cafe. They have free Fado concerts most evenings. We went to a paid one and it was in the Fado Museum. And that was really interesting because they gave you a little history of the Fado music as they were singing.
Interesting.
It's in a really small little theater. So if you want to do that, make sure you buy those tickets ahead of time as well because they will sell out.
Yeah, I know we did Fado music when I was there on a press trip in Lisbon, and it was more of a dinner show sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think of Fado as being the medieval cousin of country music in terms of its themes.
Yes. Yeah, it's really interesting and beautiful. And I loved seeing it done by the male singers. There were, yeah, we had a few male singers and then some instruments as well. So it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little logistics about getting around Coimbra. So it is on a hill, so be ready to walk. But there are other ways that you can get around too. So taxis are really cheap if you'd prefer to do that. There is an elevator / funicular that you can go up. It's half elevator, and then you get off and transfer up to a funicular. And that'll take you up to the top as well. And there is a hop-on, hop-off bus. There are these little mini buses. They look more like vans almost. And there's only 3 regular stops on that path, but you can wave them down at any time. You just wave them down, hop on, and then when you want off, you just let the driver know as well. So they'll let you on and off. They go by most of the main sites in Coimbra that you'd want to see. So that's a great alternative if you don't want to be walking the whole city. But if you're up for walking, it's a really walkable town. You can get everywhere you need to go by walking.
And we didn't talk about how I'm getting to Coimbra, but I'm guessing I'm probably flying in, for instance, to Lisbon, which has the best connections to international. And then I'm taking, would you recommend a train or a bus? I'm not going to need a rental car in Coimbra. It's just going to be a hassle.
You definitely don't want to be driving in Coimbra. Yeah, you most likely be flying into Lisbon, and then you can get trains up to Coimbra. There's lots of trains that go up there. Porto also would have connections to Coimbra.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We always rent cars when we are in Europe. We just like the freedom that it gives us.
Sure.
Especially to go to some of these smaller towns, not to be on anyone's schedule.
Well, but I suspect when we go to the next part of your itinerary, that's when we're going to really want a rental car.
Yes. I understand that rental cars can scare some people in driving in foreign countries. And I totally understand that. Coimbra is well situated to get to by train or by bus from Lisbon or from Porto. So that's no problem. And then, yeah, and if you do have a rental car, we had one, you just park it and not drive it while you're in the city.
And I wouldn't say that Portugal is a challenging country to drive in. So I wouldn't say that people should be that intimidated by Portugal if you're willing to drive in Europe.
I agree. There are great highways. It wasn't that busy, and it was really easy to navigate around Portugal.
It's the smaller towns where parking is going to be more of a hassle, I think, than driving.
Parking is one of the biggest challenges. We always joke that if we get home from a trip without a parking ticket, that was a really big win. And yeah, and we've had a few scuffs. My husband was driving a 12-passenger van in Lisbon, and he crushed a concrete pylon. So there are some downsides to having a car, but we just love the freedom it affords.
Sure. Yeah. Excellent. Anything else in Coimbra?
I would just say there are a few things to try food-wise. So there's roast suckling pig that's quite common in Coimbra. And if you don't know what that is, that's just baby pigs that haven't been weaned yet, but they do have a different flavor and texture that it's interesting to try. And there's also the Pasti de Santa Clara in Coimbra, which is a pastry that has almond and egg yolk center. And so that's fun to try while you're there.
Okay.
Okay. So while you're in Coimbra, I would suggest doing a couple of day trips. One of those day trips would be down to Tomar, and it's just an hour by bus or train or driving, and it has connections down to Tomar from Coimbra, so that's no problem getting there. The town is nice to explore and maybe have some lunch, but the real star of the show, the real reason you'd go down there, is the Convent of Christ, and it's on top of a hill, and it was a stronghold for the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it was founded in the early 12th century, but it was built over 500 years or so. So there are many different styles of architecture that are in that convent, and so it's really interesting to see. The centerpiece is the circular oratory that the Knights Templars used. It was modeled after the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, and it's really interesting because it is circular. Instead of an altar piece at the end of a long nave, it's in the center that you can walk around. It's octagonal, actually. There's 8 sides to it, and then you go around it. And it was actually used as Knights Templars. They would come in on horseback, and then they could go around it, and they would get blessed before they would go to war or go to protect the pilgrims going to Jerusalem, things like that. So that's interesting that they would go in there on horseback to be blessed. But it's really beautiful. There's frescoes all over it and arched windows, and it's really interesting, unique, and something that you'll definitely want to see. And there's all the convent also has dormitories that you can go look at, which is really interesting, that where they would live, an underground cistern, and multiple cloisters and other buildings to go look at. There is an audio guide included when you buy your tickets, which is really helpful. You can just go and push the number of where you are and find out a little bit of history about where you're standing. So that's a great thing as well. Now, just outside of Tomar is a hidden gem. I didn't really hear about it through any guidebooks or anything. So I think it's something not usually talked about in guidebooks, but it's the aqueduct for the convent. So the aqueduct is 6 kilometers long, and it has 180 arches. I think at the tallest point, it's almost 100 feet. And it's just outside Tomar. It was bringing water into the convent. And it was built in the 17th century. And the really fascinating part is that you can walk across the top of it. I've seen other aqueducts in Europe, in Segovia and the Pont de Gard. Sure. And it's usually pretty guarded. If you can, there's gates around it and they won't let you walk across it. But there's nothing there to stop you from walking across it, the top of this aqueduct. You don't need to buy a ticket. There's no gates. There's no people there. And so we went. My husband actually is really afraid of heights, and he had to leave. He drove away while me and the kids.
I was looking at this.
Yeah. He drove away while me and the kids were walking across it because he couldn't watch. He said, just text me when you're done. I can't watch you do this. So we walked across the top. But it's really interesting because you can see really where the water would go. So on your left is the canal where the water would go.
The water channel. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the water channel. On your right is a little bit of a lip of stone.
Probably, and not enough for your husband nor for me. Yes.
No. Yeah. Probably mid calf is right. All it went up to. And then that's all that was holding you from falling off the edge. So we walked along there, and then about a third of the way across, even that little lip goes away. So there's absolutely nothing. And because I was there with my 4 children, I said, okay, I can't take this anymore. We can't go any further. So we didn't go across the whole thing. But if you're brave enough, you can walk across the whole thing. But that was such a great experience and so interesting and something you don't really get anywhere else that I've been in Europe, that it's just open like that, that you can walk across.
That looks like a fascinating experience for those who are brave enough. And I think if I was walking, I would be holding on with my left hand onto that taller central portion, but I'd have to see. I might be driving away with your husband.
Yeah. And that's what we were doing. I want to go back now without children because as a mom, I was a little bit too nervous to keep going, but I would love to, I'd love to see if I could make it across.
Excellent.
Another side trip or day trip from Coimbra, I would suggest would be to go to Piedade. This is a schist village. And I know that there are organized tours that take you from Coimbra to the schist villages. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a car or if you're nervous to drive in this area, then you can get a guided tour. Public transportation is going to be really hard. I think there are a couple buses that go, but you might have to do a transfer. So I would just take a car or do a guided tour would be my suggestion. Okay. But the schist,
before we go too far, what is a schist village?
Yeah, so there are 27 schist villages, and the name comes from the type of rock that is around the area. So when it breaks, it's schist rock, and when it breaks, it splits flat. So that's what they're using to build all their buildings and houses and animal pens and all those things. There are 27 schist villages, and Piedau is especially picturesque, I think. It's built on the side of a hill and the houses are just tumbling down the hill. It's really beautiful. It's located in a protected landscape called the Serra do Açor or Açor. I'm always really bad at pronunciation. And it's full of breathtaking views. Driving there felt like we weren't in Europe anymore. It felt almost like we were in China or East Asia somewhere. With all, it was just so lush and green, and the hills were terraced, and it was absolutely stunning. Now, driving there might make a few people nervous. Again, there were no guardrails or railings, and the road was really windy. There were switchbacks. It was really narrow, and one side is just a deep drop-off into the valley, and so you could be nervous. We were in a big 12-passenger van, and my kids were really nervous, but I was loving it. I thought it was absolutely spectacular, the drive in there. It was so gorgeous.
Did you have 12 passengers?
No, we have 4 kids, so we had 6 passengers, but we just, we got a really good deal.
I feel like you
this.
Violated the first rule of renting a car in Portugal, which is get the smallest car you can.
I know. When you're traveling with 4 kids and you have luggage and everything,
yeah,
you got to go big, but we probably went over big, but that's just the, I think we got a deal on it or something, but it was great. So I want to also say that the weather in this area is unpredictable. It has a weather system of its own. So even if it's warm and sunny in Coimbra, it could be cool, misty, damp, rainy in Piedade and driving through this area. Mm-hmm. It adds to the mystique, though, and the vibe of this whole area. It's very magical and mystical. So if you have a little mist or fog, adds to that. But Piedade has a population of 120 people, and it's fun because many of the houses have blue shutters and doors. Mm-hmm. And there's a myth about that, or a legend, is that because the village was so isolated, there was only blue paint available in the one store that was in town, and they didn't want to travel to other villages to get other colors, so they just started using the blue. And so they just kept with it. Another kind of myth about the village is because of its isolation, it was a perfect hideout for fugitives from the law. So I don't know if either of those are true, but I liked both of those legends.
Okay.
So exploring Piedade, at the bottom of the village is an area known as River Beach. And this is a really fun area to just go and get some great pictures. It's really picturesque. There's 2 bridges that cross the river. And again, when we were there, it was rainy, misty, and cooler. But this is a great spot in the middle of summer to go and take a dip. There's a little slate-lined pool down there that you can swim in or just dip your feet and cool off. And there's some great views of the village. And then when you get to the village, there's a main square with a few shops, and there's a tourist information center and a few restaurants, and then also a church. And then beyond the square, you really just climb up into the houses and buildings and explore. There's not really any big sights to see, but it's just delightful mm-hmm. to wander around, try and get lost and enjoy the beautiful views and the interesting buildings. So just 4 kilometers away from Piedade is a place called Foz de Agua. And it looks like a little hobbit village. It's really amazing to see. There's 2 arched stone bridges, and then there's a suspension bridge that's higher up, and there's some buildings on either side of it, but it is so picturesque. Really, you feel like you're in a fairy tale, and you can go there when it's warm and swim or dip your feet or whatever and cool off. You can walk there from Piedade. There's a path, and it takes about an hour, or you can just drive over there. It's about a 5-minute drive, but I would definitely suggest stopping there for a little while and climbing around. It's a really unique area and great place for pictures. And yeah, it's just gorgeous.
Now, you mentioned that you would recommend potentially taking a tour up to the schist villages. Do they include Foz de Agua?
Yeah, so there's lots of different ones. Some do and some don't. You just have to look around. Also, you can hire a private guide, and then they would go wherever you want to go. So yeah, that's an option as well.
Okay. And I can't help you with Portuguese pronunciation, by the way. Mine is probably worse than yours.
Yes. I get mocked a lot with my pronunciation of anything other than English. So. Okay. So that's pretty much for the Coimbra area. I would say if you do 4 days in Coimbra, 2 days in Coimbra, and then a day trip to Tomar and a day trip to Piedade. So you just want me to keep going?
Sure.
The itinerary? Okay. Is a beautiful town. It's one of the prettiest towns in Portugal. And it's about an hour north of Lisbon. So I would probably do an overnight there. It's a walled medieval city. And all of the houses are white. And they're trimmed with either yellow or blue. So it's a really interesting look. Just white and yellow and blue all over the town. The walls go all the way around the town. And you can walk on them. Again, no railing. But they're not quite as high as the aqueduct. So it's not quite as scary. Although my husband still stayed on the ground. But you can walk all the way around the town. And it's really picturesque and really nice to explore. There's a castle as well that has been turned into a hotel. We were there during the chocolate festival, the annual chocolate festival, which was really fun. We didn't know that was happening, but we just happened to be there at that time. It made the town really lively, really busy. But it was interesting because most of the people that were there seemed to be locals from the area that were just coming in for the festival and not really tourists. So that was a fun thing to be able to see is a local festival. And that was in March. But so they have the annual chocolate festival. And again, Oviedo doesn't have any really big sites, but it is a town that you'll want to take an overnight because day trippers will come up from Lisbon. And it's just mm-hmm. so nice to be there when the day trippers aren't there in the evening and in the morning. Sure. And wander around and explore during that quiet time, get to really see the town.
The one thing we should say, you mentioned the castle has been turned into a hotel. And we've done some episodes recently on Spain, and we've talked about the Parador system, where they've taken some historic buildings and turned them into hotels. And this is the same thing in Portugal, but it's the Pousadas system. And it's, again, run by the Portuguese government. And they're all luxury hotels in traditional or historic sites.
Yes.
Like castles.
Yes. And yeah, thank you for saying the word. I couldn't remember the name of it, but yes.
At least butchering the word so you didn't have to.
Yeah. Okay. And one more stop on the itinerary is Monsanto. So Monsanto is located about 2 hours east of Coimbra. Now, mm-hmm. I know it can get busy. I think there's a lot of day trippers that come over from Spain. It's right on the border with Spain. But we were there in March and there was nobody there. We had it all to ourselves. And again, I would suggest driving a car. It's a little bit hard to get to on public transportation, or you can hire your own private guide. But it is one of the most unique villages that I've ever been to in Europe and one of my favorites for sure. It has a population of around 800. There are ruins of an old Templar castle on the top of the hill. It was mostly destroyed by an ammunition explosion, but it's really fun to still wander around and explore and climb on. But what really sets Monsanto apart is these huge granite boulders. So just beyond the castle, you can climb on these boulders and it's overlooking the valley, which gives you really beautiful views. But these boulders are utilized and used in making the architecture. So they'll use them as roofs, as walls, as animal pens. And it's really interesting how the buildings are built in and around using these boulders as part of the buildings. So it's absolutely fascinating to walk around. And there's a little trail, it's called the Boulder Route, and you can get a map of that at the tourist center, but really you can find it by yourself. It's a really small village. There's just paths around it, and it's so fun to explore. It's really unique. We had a little terrace at our Airbnb, and we just love sitting out there looking down into the valley. There's a few buildings where there's one restaurant where this huge boulder is the roof. And yeah, it's just a really fun place to be.
Hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting, stunning place. If you're a photographer, you're going to love this place.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Cool. Anything else on your itinerary?
I think that's it for my itinerary.
Okay. And obviously, if you were in Portugal for the first time, you could easily combine this part of Portugal with a trip either south to Lisbon or in north to Porto. If you're going to add on one of the two, do you have a favorite between them?
I would start in Lisbon, especially if it's your first time in Portugal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really fun city. And also going out to Sintra, which is easy day trip from Lisbon. Yeah, so both of those things, if you have some more time, I would add Lisbon and Sintra on.
And Sintra being the very colorful, and you'll know what I mean when you see pictures of it, royal castle not far from Lisbon.
Yes, so that's Peña Palace, and yeah, it's absolutely iconic. You'll definitely recognize pictures of that. But there's so much else to see in Sintra as well.
Right.
There's the Castle of the Moors, and there's a lot to see in Sintra. So I would tack those two on if you have more time.
Anything else we want to cover and recommend to people before they book their ticket to Portugal, before we get to some of our wrap-up questions? Yeah. Any tips for Portugal? Make sure to pack this, or don't do that, or the locals always do this, or
I would say beware that a lot of things don't have railings, walls, roads, aqueducts. If you're scared of heights, be aware of that. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, everything is amazing. You'll come back with a memorable trip of a lifetime. So it's really
excellent.
Great.
As we go to wrap this up, you are standing in the prettiest spot in central Portugal. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
It's really hard for me to choose between Piedade and Monsanto. I'm going to say Piedade, but again, that's hurting my heart a little bit. But Piedade, probably across from Piedade, looking over into the town with it tumbling down those terraced hills is pretty stunning.
But Coimbra is no slouch either as far as pretty places. So excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Portugal.
So I just have, again, you might want to cut out another time I talked about this, but I've got to say, we just laughed the whole time at my husband because there was no railings on anything and we were just allowed to climb on everything. Other places in Europe is just feels way more restricted, gated off, things like that, or you have to buy tickets. And Portugal, everything was open. You just climb on the huge boulders, climb on the walls, climb on the aqueducts, drive on the crazy narrow switchbacks without a guardrail. So only in Portugal, no railings.
And then the one thing we didn't talk much about, do you have any recommendations for food while we're in this area, restaurants or dishes to order?
Yes, the pastéis de natas all over Portugal. They're just so good. And then for Coimbra, the suckling pig, I think we talked about it a little bit, and the pastéis de Santa Clara, and also the seafood. And seafood in Portugal is amazing, so I would definitely try the seafood.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize this region of Portugal in just three words, what three words would you use?
I would say scenic, welcoming,
okay,
and magical.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Stephanie Lambert from EuroTravelByDesign.com. Stephanie, if we wanted to send people to your best post on Portugal or on central Portugal, where are we going to send them?
So I just posted one about Piedade. So I would go check out that one.
Excellent. I'll put a link to that in the show notes to make it easy for people to find. Stephanie, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for central Portugal.
Thank you.
A special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. We just had a great patron Zoom call, which we do once a month, just last Saturday. That's always good fun for me. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/amateur traveler. I heard recently from Nick, who wrote about the episode we did recently on Toronto. Hi, Chris, big fan of your podcast, and this is my first time commenting. This episode did a nice job explaining many things to do in Toronto, but missed the most popular pastime and passion in all of Toronto. That is the sport of hockey. If in season you must see a Toronto Maple Leafs game, another must visit is the Hockey Hall of Fame. Visit the Stanley Cup, see the busts of the best hockey players of all time, and play some of the interactive exhibits. A must for anyone visiting the city of Toronto. Nick, thanks so much. I understand what you're saying. I don't do it often, but I do want to remind people that there is also a blog at amateurtraveler.com. And in the last couple weeks, say you've had episodes on, I'm so used to doing podcasts. We've had articles on Everest Base Camp Trek, dining tips for Rome, and spending 3 days in Lisbon. If you're interested in any of those, check out the amateurtraveler.com website. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.